With us on the line now is Brian Faulkner. He's a former Vet of the Year who is currently tackling 31 marathons in 31 days throughout August. He's doing 825-mile route runs from John O'Groats to Land's End, ending up in Land's End next Monday, the 31st, his 50th birthday. He's doing it for the Homeless with Pets charity Street Vet, who we've chatted with a few times on the show. How are you doing, Brian?
Hey, good morning, Hannah.
Good morning.
Morning. I'm doing well, thank you. Yes, at the moment, everything, touch wood, is doing okay. My feet are fine after a few early blisters way back in the first week. And I never had blisters, but I ended up getting them for some reason, but they've recovered now. My muscles, my joints are doing fine. And today is the beginning of day 27 of the 31 that you mentioned.
Wow, that's incredible. So have you ever done anything remotely like this before?
Well, I had never run more than 10 kilometers, so 6 miles, up until 2016. And then I did, through a slightly, a slightly drunken conversation, actually, at a party, I agreed to do the London Marathon in 2016. And then in 2017, I did 10 marathons in 10 days for another charitable event that I just arranged, where we did 10 all across the UK and Ireland. And I thought, I promised myself after that, that that's it, no more. But I always liked the idea of running from John O'Groats or the length of our country. And so I decided this was the year.
Wow, amazing. So when you did that first marathon, you know, because for a lot of people, they would never even do one marathon. But for some, you know, it's a real achievement to have done a marathon, you know, to have done one in your life is a real kind of tick off the bucket list type moment. After you did that one marathon, the London Marathon, what made you want to do it again?
Well, when I crossed the line in the London Marathon, I promised myself never again, never again. And so within 2 or 3 weeks, I was planning. And I think if I was being really honest with myself, I hadn't prepared as well as I could have done for that first marathon. There was lots of things that you learn, of course, by doing these things. There's a phrase that someone once told me, there's a marathon in everyone. And I never believed it back then, but I think it's true. I've seen lots of people who wouldn't consider themselves very fit at all, who have managed to grind out a marathon and certainly felt doing it. Yeah. So, yes, but on that day when I crossed the line, I said never again. But then when the emotion settled, I thought, well, actually, let's perhaps do it properly.
So when we watch the London Marathon or any of these big marathons on television, we see a lot of different people taking part. You know, obviously you see the elite runners at the front, but then you see a lot of people in fancy dress. There's a lot of people walking as well. When you're doing a marathon, are you running the whole way or are there sort of breaks in between? How do you do it?
Well, my aim would be to run the whole way, to do it. And yeah, as I got better at them, I got better at running the whole way. So, for example, the 2017, our 10th marathon was the London Marathon. And I ran that literally from start to finish. It wasn't a particularly fast time. It was exactly 5 hours, which was okay. I'm not particularly fast, but it was a nonstop. So yeah, but different people do different things. And I've certainly done different things with different marathons. As according to sometimes the conditions of the day, your training, there's lots of variables. But it's more about just enjoying and getting through as opposed to necessarily being Olympic about it.
Yeah. But that's an incredible feat, though, running all of that way without doing any walking in between. I mean, how do you train for something like that?
It's difficult. I mean, for our single marathon, the training is relatively prescribed, shall we say, you build up to a certain distance. When you're doing something like what I'm doing at the moment, it's really impossible to know if your body's going to cope. I think really for me, making sure that I could do consecutive marathons, so that feeling of doing one, getting up the next day and doing another one, irrespective perhaps of how you're feeling about it, that was an important milestone in the training for this. And with COVID, I was meant to actually do this event in May, but with COVID, I had to postpone it to August. But that was both, I suppose, a good and a bad thing. I was able to do more training in the evenings during the COVID lockdown period.
Yeah, I suppose, I mean, it's one of those things, once you've said that you're going to do it, announced that you're going to do it, you sort of have to do it, don't you?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was a big moment whenever you let that slip, because it's out of the box.
Yeah. And
that's absolutely right. Pride is a very good motivator when you put it out there. But it was very good. But it was something I wanted to do for Street Vet, as you mentioned, as well, because I wanted to help them. They're a relatively young charity, and they're doing good work. And that was highlighted. The need for the agenda around Street Vet was highlighted during the UK's lockdown, because a lot of the sheltered areas wouldn't take. They weren't able to take dogs. I think only 10% were able to take the dogs and the pets. So this made a choice for these homeless folk. What do they do? Do they look after themselves, or do perhaps they give their vote to their pet? And many did, of course. So one of the agendas that Street Vet's working with is trying to get this accredited shelter, so therefore more dogs are able to come off the street with their owners, and that helps them make the transition off the streets.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful charity, isn't it? Very unique as well.
Yeah, very unique. And I mean, there's 16 centres now across the UK, an increasing army of volunteers who are, and the support that, the messages of encouragement is through the donations as well. And the little message of encouragement that people have been giving to me as well as supporting the charity have been very inspiring.
Oh, lovely. And do you know how much you've raised so far?
Yeah, I think at the moment I'm heading towards the £7,000 mark. My target is at 10. Yeah, so I'm heading towards the 7,000. And people have been donating. So obviously people I know and people all around the world and through medium like this as well, people I don't know, not even aware, they're all around the world that they have become aware of the charity mainly, and of course my little event connected to it.
Yeah, so, fantastic. So how many times in the 27 days so far have you woken up and thought, oh, gosh, have I got to do it all again today?
I have to admit, last week there were a couple, and it's not the physicality of it at all. Well, it's a wee bit that, but it's not really that, just in terms of the physicality. I liken it to just, an honest hard day's work. You know, people get up and do a hard day's physical work, and it's just like that. This is just my hard day's physical work. And if I start running sometime between 8, 8:30, I'm normally done by about 3-ish. And you kind of go, it's not even a proper day's work. It's a half day's work. And but the weather in the UK, we've had a couple of storms in the last week. The storms have been coming out of the southwest, exactly where I'm running into.
Oh.
Sheets of rain have been thrown away. There was definitely, you're going, is it August? Is it really August?
Yes.
And you're kind of going, so that's actually what's been the most demoralizing thing, is waking up, seeing the rain smashing off your window, and you're going, oh, I have to go out on that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all part of the story. Sure, it gives me something to write about on my blog.
Yeah. And is it kind of weather-wise, I mean, please correct me if I'm wrong, but presumably rain is better than boiling hot sun, isn't it?
There are times I wonder, but you're right. So 2-3 weeks ago, was it now, in the UK, we had a mini heat wave. We had mid-30s. I suspect from where you're broadcasting from, that's normal. But for us, of course, it was very unusual. And that was very much in the southern half, or even the southern third of the United Kingdom. So where I was at that stage, I was in Scotland, and I didn't get it. And I was lucky. I was fortunate that I didn't get it. I was getting high teens, low 20s, but dry. And that was very pleasant. And then, but everyone was telling me being low to mid 30s in England must be mad, must be terrible for where I'm running. So I didn't have that. I did think, though, as I was moving into the middle of the mainland, I was kind of going, you know what, some of that heat wave would be appealing right now as the rain is coming. But I think you're right. I think it's easier to manage wet than the difficulty of dehydrating oppressive heat.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you struggled with blisters at the beginning, but you're okay now. I mean, anybody who's done any kind of walking or running and had a blister, the idea of going back out and doing it all again the next day and the day after with blisters, I mean, is unimaginable. How did you get through it? Because they can be so painful.
Yeah, they were, I can tell you. It made me feel and look very amateur. And, you know, when I, in day 3/4, developed this blister, and it was a combination of I had a very steep descent in North Scotland, and I ended up rubbing and breaking as you sort of stopping yourself going down a hill. And I had the socks, which I call my lucky socks. I had my socks that I had trained in everything the exact same, kept it the exact same. But I think I guess that I forgot my socks actually wear out a wee bit, and that didn't help. So anyway, the lucky socks got discarded to the bin that night. And but you're right. The blister was actually about, well, an inch diameter in old money. It was a very large defect. It was enormous. So a combination of Compeed cushioning adhesive plasters, and I have orthotics. I've always had orthotics. So I took one of my orthotics and I cut a hole out of it just where the blister was, so I didn't have that impact, and then covering it with Compeed blister support. And that worked really well in the sense of it took it from being excruciating to being bearable. Mm. But you're right, those, I think I can't remember the numbers of day 4, 5, 6, I walked and stroked limped, and it was a bit wet as well. And I think there was one day actually, I think day 5, it was really wet. I was limping around the Scottish roads, and people were looking at me going, who is this guy? He needs to be stopped for his own benefit.
Yes. And if you told them what you were planning to do, they would have looked at you and thought, nah, I don't think so, mate.
There definitely was a moment of doubt. And, you know, I think, as I say, day 3, I was probably the lowest I've been. Because I was cold, I was wet, I had a very sore throat. And I was also concerned, I was thinking, is this thing going to heal? Will it heal if I continue to smash on 26 miles every day? But it did, you know, and I think I dared to run on day 6, day 7, whatever it was. And yeah, and then you get on and it just healed and healed and got on. And now it's only a psychological scar now as opposed to a real one.
Yeah.
I feel fine.
And you mentioned orthotics or something. I didn't know what does that mean?
Orthotics.
Orthotics.
They're basically customized insoles for your shoes, because I've always had slightly flat feet. In fact, if you want a sort of a further backstory on this, is I took up cycling probably about 10 years ago, as one does in their 40s. It seems to be the thing. And I took up cycling and I had really, really sore feet. By the end of a working day, standing at the feet as a vet, my feet would come home and be agony. And the thought of doing proper exercise, I used to enjoy playing football. The thought of running and doing proper exercise was just a thing I assumed was of the past. And so I had orthotics, but a combination of what I'm wearing out. So the orthotics really just helped me rebalance my feet. And if you had told me 10 years ago, one, that I would be able to run very far at all, and two, do this, I wouldn't have believed you, because I thought my feet were just, I thought I was past it. And actually, weirdly, exercise makes my feet feel better. It seems to be the more I pound them, the better they feel. Don't ask me to explain it, but that's what's
Yeah, interesting. So where are you today? Where are you running?
So I'm in Tiverton, Devon today, and we're running down towards, I think it's Samford Courtenay part of the world, just down the spine of Devon, and then on to Launceston tomorrow, and then on towards, if I can remember my various places, into Cornwall and onwards. But yeah, Tiverton, Devon today.
Oh, fantastic. Well, best of luck today, and a very happy birthday to you for Monday, your 50th on Monday.
Thank you, Hannah. And can I give out the website for anyone who might be interested?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So my website is Jogle 2020. So just J-O-G-L-E. It stands for John O'Groats, Land's End. J-O-G-L-E 2020, so 2020.co.uk. And there's more information about me. There's the route. There's my updates. I've been doing a blog every single day. And of course, there's the donation link should anyone feel inspired to do that.
Fantastic. jogle2020.co.uk. And more information on Street Vet. They have their own website as well, streetvet.org.uk. Brian, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck for the next few days. We think you're amazing.
God bless. Thank you very much, Hannah. And hello, and thank you to everyone who's listening.
Thanks, Brian. Take care. Bye-bye.